Hey, 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 Closet Busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, Life Uncloseted people and bold move makers. It is time once again to come out of the closets and say, screw it, I'm going to kick down those closet doors of my life. I'm going to do what I'm meant to do, set myself free, and live life uncloseted without apologies, even if that means in your own business. Because you know what, as a business owner myself, I realize, man, there's so many things that I desire to do, things I want to get done, but then oftentimes I find myself shutting myself in these funky, crazy closets of business, whether it's I let my creativity get just kind of snuffed out, or my financial savvy gets kind of out of whack, whether it's all these ideas that pop in my head 100 times over, everything can become a funky little closet. But sometimes what you need is just a good old piece of duct tape. And today I'm bringing forward one of my business buddies who I have known for quite a few years off and on. We've ran into each other, and he is actually one of the guys that I, every time he puts a book out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab this because I know John's got something to say. His name is John Janst. He is Mr. Duct Tape Marketing, Mr. Duct Tape Selling, all these different things. I'll kind of let him get into that. But I can tell you this, if you're struggling to do something in your business, John is definitely one of the go-to people in the entrepreneur space and small business space. So, John, I really appreciate you being here with me today, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and thanks for that lovely intro, Rick.
Hey, you bet, man. So here's the ironic thing. John and I ran across each other probably clear back in 2004, 2005. He was certifying people in his duct tape marketing thing. And there are days I actually kick myself for not having stepped up to the plate and become one of your coaches, John, because I know you've taken that brand and it's just really blossomed for you. I think that was kind of when everything was really starting to grow for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I was looking just today. I was looking at my podcast on iTunes, like people do all the time, and I always like to see if I've gotten some reviews lately, and it actually doesn't rank them unless you say show me your most recent. And the first one I came across, it said 11 years ago.
Wow. Isn't that ironic? Because now it's like suddenly they're touting 2018, the year of the podcast. I'm like, no, not exactly. I think people have been doing this for a long, long time.
So. Yeah, you know, podcasting was like the next extension after blogging.
Yeah.
But then social media came along, and so podcasting got, you know, very pedestrian. And but right now it's pretty much become a mainstream channel for pretty much any marketer or business.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason I wanted to bring John on, because as I'm starting to expand my business and, you know, move somewhat to the wider audiences of, you know, what are all these closets? One of the things I know John does really, really well is he helps small business owners, entrepreneurs start to see through all the muck that they step into when they go, okay, I'm going to go do this. Everybody has these beautiful ideas of what they want to do to have their own business. But then, as I said in the intro, it's kind of like you find all these funky closets you can get yourself stuck in, like, okay, well, let's go do this, let's go do this course, or let's go do this, and let's go chase this, you know, bright shiny object. I know you run across this all the time, John, when you're working with people. It seems like it's just like the small business entrepreneur syndrome where, man, they just get caught up in stuff and then they don't get anything done.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, sticking with your closet metaphor, you know, a lot of people think in terms of that idea of being in there by yourself and coming out. And it's really the other way around. What happens to most small business owners is they get in that same closet that everybody else in their business is in. And
exactly.
What we really have to do is to get them to kind of come out there and be on yourself or on your own. Because, you know, if you're a remodeling contractor, then anybody who has a house, you know, is looked at as your prospect. And one of the things we know for sure is that's not the case. I mean, not everybody is a good fit. And I think that when small business owners really wrap their head around who they can serve, you know, what problems they're best suited to solve, they start to understand that it's not a matter of attracting anybody who needs what you do. It's a matter of you actually choosing who your ideal client is and who you want to work with. And boy, I tell you, particularly if you're in a coaching or consulting business where, you know, maybe at any given time, 8 or 10 clients is about all you can handle. Well, you sure as heck better not have 4 or 5 that just are not good fits, or it's going to drive you crazy. So getting small business owners to understand they have to narrow their focus and that they get to choose their clients that they want to work with and not the other way around is probably step number one. And I get it. It's, you know, when you're thinking I'm not making what I need to make this month, you know, it's pretty tempting to take any business that walks by. But long term, choosing your ideal client is the only way to really grow a business that you can be happy with.
You know, and it's interesting, John, because everybody talks about this. You know, Michael Port, mutual friend, he talks about, you know, finding the focus. Chris Brogan's talked about it. You talk about it. Why do you think everybody talks about this yet? Small business owners and entrepreneurs, they don't get it. They don't get it. And I'm raising my hand. I didn't get it for a long time. And you, I know you watched me on my journey until I finally said, yes, I'm the coming out guy. This is what I do. I do it really well. I help people through this journey. And now all I'm doing is a slight pivot of, I'm still that guy. I'm just doing it slightly different now. But why do you think it is people just don't get that the focus is where the riches are?
Well, I think some of it's fear, because if you are going to say, you know, here's my focus, you are consequently at the same time saying, here's who I don't do business with. And I think that's kind of the scary thing for a lot of people, because, you know, when you're first getting started, you know, there's lots of people that preach this idea of picking out a niche and, you know, getting very narrow focus. And it's extremely hard to do when you're first getting started, because I think that a lot of times what happens is that focus finds you.
Absolutely.
That you get good at something, you have some great experiences, you get certain kinds of clients, and you then realize, hey, I like this. You know, I like doing this. This is the kind of work I was meant to do. And I think sitting in a room on, you know, January 1st, making up your goals for the year, it's very difficult for you to actually say, here is my focus. I think you have to just go out there with a mentality that I have this to give the world, and I'm going to start chasing opportunities. I'm going to keep a keen eye on what works and what doesn't. And a lot of times, you know, that will help you get that focus. But I think what the first step is when you find that focus, you will also start realizing that people will call, you know, people call me all the time. I hear you do marketing. Come out and do marketing for me. And it's very tempting to say, okay, I'll go chase that. But, you know, as you do this for a while and you realize what's a good fit and what's not a good fit, then you start asking the right questions, you start identifying the right behavior, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize that and this takes time, this takes patience, but, you know, in a lot of ways, that makes you more attractive to that ideal client than somebody who will just chase anything. There's plenty of people out there that will want to make you jump through hoops and run you around and, you know, not be serious about doing business with you. And so you have to get good at identifying that and understanding that. And I think this is the hard part, that I think a client relationship is a mutually beneficial relationship.
Absolutely.
Not a relationship where you're the master and you know, they're the servant.
Yeah. So I want to take what you just said, John, because I think it's the perfect time for me to just become real and raw. And my listeners have heard me be real and raw, but I don't know that they've ever heard me be real and raw about what I'm about to say. Had I not made the definitive choice going into coaching school and come out of it, that I was going to work with people later in life coming out, specifically men coming out later in life, I don't think I would be sitting here doing this podcast today, because I was focused. I knew my niche. I knew where I could play. Now, that doesn't mean that a lot of people didn't try to get me to go do some other stuff, which I did some other stuff as well, but my focus never changed. A lot of people say, well, why don't you work with kids? That's not what my focus was. First of all, I didn't have that experience. I didn't come out as a teenager. I didn't come out I kind of came out as a college guy, but I didn't really have that experience. My experience was much better of, hey, I lived this life. And I can tell you what John just said is the key to why I feel like I've been very successful doing what I've done. As I grew into my business, and then Jonathan Fields, another mutual friend, what he said to me once is, Rick, I think the power in what you do is you help men come out and really do the things they're meant to do. And he said, I'm not sure the world's ready for the, you know, the complete uncloseted, you know, story yet, but I think now the world is, because there's so many closet doors flying open on so many fronts that people are doing this. But what I've realized is my talent, my audience is always going to be in a basis of men who are coming out to do something bold in their life. And now I see that so clearly, but I had to get focused. In fact, Dori Clark said this to me once, and she says it quite a few times. I think you've said it a couple of times too. Go narrow and deep and then go wide. And I think this is what so many business owners miss.
Well, and there's a very practical side to that too, because it, you know, for that person that's out there considering hiring or working with somebody for whatever their problem or challenge is, there is at least a perception that that person who fits and speaks and defines, you know, their exact problem best is probably going to be the best person to work with. And oftentimes what that does is it leads to an expectation that they're actually going to pay a premium to work with you, as opposed to, hey, you do the same thing as everybody else who does this kind of coaching. And so, you know, how little can I pay to get it?
Exactly.
And so that is another thing that happens, is when you are seen as the expert in some area, or at least you've defined a problem specifically that somebody's trying to solve, you know, better than anyone else, you can and should expect to charge a premium. And so, you know, even if you're saying no to, you know, half of the leads that come your way, you know that you're going to be working with an ideal client, somebody that you actually can help, and that you are going to be far more profitable doing that with that narrow focus.
So let's kind of go back to the focus, because you've been doing this for quite a while. And I know when I first came across duct tape marketing, one of the things that attracted me to it was, A, it appealed to me as a new business owner. B, the simplicity of the concept. I mean, the metaphor in and of itself, and you know my background, I came out of marketing and branding. So I thought, wow, this duct tape, there's a metaphor right there. So did that actually generate because you knew that metaphor might help you get to the right people? Or were you just trying to send a statement that marketing doesn't have to be this complex thing? It can be as simple as a piece of duct tape, so to speak, to really start to get you going.
Yeah, I think it was actually both of those. I was at a point where this is right around the turn of the century. That sounds funny to say, doesn't it?
I know.
Turn of the century. I was at a point where I was actually working with pretty much anybody that would hire me doing marketing consulting. But I found I really enjoyed working with small business owners, but they were really kind of challenging because they needed everything, but, you know, had no time or budget. And so I said at that point, to kind of solve my frustration, is I was going to create a very simple and systematic approach to marketing where I could walk in and say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here are the results we hope we can get. And by the way, here's what it costs. Mm-hmm. And like so many innovations that kind of take off, what I sort of accidentally discovered was I tapped into one of the greatest frustrations of small business owners. It's actually very difficult for a small business owner to buy marketing services. Mm-hmm. Everybody's selling a piece of the pie.
Yes.
I don't know who to trust, which way to go. Not enough people are talking about systems and integration. And so consequently, I had a lot of folks that said, yeah, I want that. I was effectively, in my mind, trying to turn marketing, this thing that we felt like we had to make up different every time and, you know, from scratch and custom, I was essentially trying to turn it into a product. And so I went searching for a more product-y name. And that's really where, you know, this idea of duct tape marketing hit me, was that that's what I felt like it was to work and do marketing in a lot of, you know, small businesses and the clients that I had worked with. It's, you know, simple, effective, affordable, doesn't always have to be pretty, just has to work.
Exactly.
I did also, it is also a nod to this kind of strange affection that a lot of people, at least in North America, have for, you know, all things duct tape too. So
right.
It said what I was trying to say in three words, but I also kind of borrowed from this kind of built-in affection. So it's probably the best business decision I ever made, certainly. And I owe it really kind of to just some dumb luck, really.
Yeah. But here's what I love about what you've done with your brands and each step, each book that comes out, there's this simplicity to it. You know, there's the duct tape marketing, there's the duct tape selling, the commitment engine, the referral engine. There's nothing complicated about that. And again, coming from my own marketing and branding background, and as I work with entrepreneurs, just trying to get them out, you know, here, and here's the interesting space where John, it's a perfect example of how somebody like John, who's got huge amounts of experience in helping people grow businesses, and me can actually hold hands to help somebody do what they're going to do. I can help somebody come out and say, okay, I'm going to own that. I want to be the entrepreneur. I'm going to get the confidence and all that stuff up. And then John's a perfect guy to go, now here's the simplicity approach. I'm going to hand you to John. You go do his stuff. You follow his, because sometimes you got to get people beyond the emotional, intellectual stuff of, I can't do this. I can't really be this. Once you get them there, then it's like, okay, great. I'm going to do the handoff to John because I don't want to teach you how to sell. I don't want to teach you how to market. I don't want to do this. But what I love about what you do, John, is it's simple. There's nothing complicated about anything that I've ever seen you write where, quite honestly, you'd have to be pretty much dumb as a fence post not to get most of what you do.
Well, and you know, ironically, that's actually the hardest thing to do. When I first started out, I had 747 steps because I wanted to cover everything. And what I realized was the real appeal was I was able to tell people, here's what we're going to do. Here's what it costs. We're going to do it consistently. And so that idea is marketing as a system.
Yep.
Even though it doesn't really sound that revolutionary, it kind of is still today. And so I think the message in that is, I think the one who can simplify a lot of what we're trying to do in a way that actually solves part of the problem in and of itself, that's who's going to win. I think that's a message that a lot
of people. But it's so interesting because this aligns so similarly to the whole coming out journey I take people on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that must be really complicated. It can be. But when you simplify it now, I use 6 simple steps. You're going to start out very confused. And then you're going to start comparing yourself to what other people have done or what's going to happen. You're going to look around and compare yourself and think, okay, this is what's going to happen. Then you're going to get into kind of a place where you're like, okay, I'm going to accept that I'm going to do this, but I'm also kind of, you know what, if I don't do this, I'm just going to accept I'm going to stay here and be stuck. But then once you embrace the acceptance and you go, okay, I'm moving forward, then you can start to take pride in who you are, whether it's an entrepreneur, whether it's your sexual orientation, whether it's, you know, creating whatever it is, and then you're going to integrate it into your life. I know I left one step out there, but you see how simple I made this. These are the steps we're going to go through. Yep. And it doesn't matter who I'm working with, what the coming out journey is. It's like, okay, first thing that's going to happen, you, young, bright, brilliant millennial, is you're going to have this great idea about a business, and then you're going to start getting completely confused. What are people going to think? How am I going to do this? Should I listen to this guy? Should I listen to that guy? Okay, then you're going to compare yourself. And off we go. We go right through the system. And I think this is what is so perfect about what you've done. It's a plan. It's a process. It's simple. And it isn't easy to take 700 and some steps and go, wait, let's simplify it. Because I've been there too, man. I tried to do that with my coming out. It's like, oh, here's all this stuff they're going to go through. And it's like, no, just simplify it. And then how they show up, then let's work on that. But let's just bucket this stuff. Because you know, even as you help people with this business stuff, 95%, probably even higher, 98% of business owners are going to go through the same exact stuff as they run their businesses.
Yeah, it's funny. So one of the things, as you mentioned in the intro, is I now license this system and methodology to, we've got about 150 independent marketing consultants and agencies around the world. And I think that in order to, you know, it's one thing to take my system and me work with a client who trusts me, and we're worked together for, you know, for years maybe, and they understand. In fact, in some cases, they're like, yeah, whatever you say, you know, do it. But then there's entirely another step to try to take it and you know, take that learning and teach somebody else how to do it. So that was another level of, you know, really kind of grueling, you know, how do I transfer this knowledge as opposed to just, you know, maybe teach this or, you know, implement it in a business. Transferring that knowledge actually, I think, made me even hone it down to a system even more.
But you know, John, you just brought up something that I'm going to take too, since we're doing the whole closet comparisons and metaphors. What you just brought up is a perfect closet that a business owner can go get stuck in.
Yeah.
Well, let's put this process together. Well, let's work on this. We're going to take the next 6 months and figure out the process. What you're going to find is the more you try to process something, if you don't say good enough is going to have to be good enough till we can put it out, take it out of the, you know, lab, so to speak, and put it into real play, you could get stuck in a closet of building a process and building a process and building a process. You've got to let some of these things go. Okay, we're bringing it out. We're going with it. Whether it's creativity, whether it's a business process, whether it's a hiring practice, you got to kind of go and go, okay, then we'll bring it back and readjust until we see how it works. And I think that's something that a lot of business owners do. It's like, when it's perfect, then we shall go. And yeah. I don't know that it's ever going to be perfect. I mean, I'm raising my hand because my business is nowhere near as perfect in the areas it could be, but I keep going.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's kind of, cliche in the startup market, you know, to talk about launching, you know, fast, just putting it out there. But there is some to that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, early on I would create a product or, you know, some sort of course or something. I'd say, this is perfect. And I'd put it out there only to find out nobody really wanted it or nobody understood what I was trying to get across. And it's like, right. It was perfect. But the ones that have really worked out for me are the ones where I've said, to a community, here's what I'm kind of thinking about doing. Would this be valuable? Oh, you'd like it this way? Okay, what if I did it this way? And kind of do it in collaboration. And you can't always do that with every business, but the more you can involve your customers and understand what they want and need, I mean, there are countless stories of people that have built, you know, multi-million dollar businesses around just asking people what they wanted and trying to work with them to develop it. It's almost like you have a built-in audience that's going to buy your product or your program if you can take the time and patience to do that. And it's very hard to sit in a laboratory and create perfect.
Absolutely. You know, and I think what you just said is the perfect thing. You have to ask the people. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're actually going to get back exactly what you put out there, because you're operating in the vacuum, as they say. You know, you're caught up in your own idea. You think it's the greatest idea. And I've been there too. I've created stuff, but I'm actually right in the middle of something right now where I have sent some targeted emails to some of my list and said, here's what I'm thinking of doing. All of us want to do something really grand or make our mark in the world. So I'm curious why you're not and what you would need to kind of figure out how to do that. I'm thinking about putting together this program, but before I do, I'd love to know what. And literally the first email, it only went out to like 60 people because I segmented my list. Mm-hmm. I had 20 people respond back. That's a huge return. That's like a huge number in that world. And I got such good feedback that now I know I can go back at least to those 20 and go, okay, so now here's what I'm thinking. What do you think of that? Yeah. It's all about working in conjunction and, you know, and don't think you can't ask people. Any of you entrepreneurs out there listening, you're like, yeah, I'm ready to come out and I want to do this. Start asking your questions now. The moment you have the idea that you want to do this is the time to start asking people questions and what.
Well, and that really never ends too, because, you know, we work with a lot of businesses that have been established in some cases for, you know, decades.
Yep.
And you have to continue to listen to your customers. Now that our customers have so many ways to speak, you know, the review sites and whatnot, you know, I can't tell you how many times I have just found, you know, absolute gold in those reviews. You know, the company wants to talk about their great this and their ingenuity and their how smart they are and how great their products are. And their customers are saying they showed up on time. They, you know, they cleaned up the job site. And that's the stuff that you need to listen to as well, because that is your customer telling you the problem you're actually solving. You know, it's unfortunate, but nobody wants what we sell. they want their problem solved.
You know, it's so interesting because I at the, you know, when I get done doing an engagement with a client, so it can be 3 to 6 months depending on who it is, and, you know, especially in the coming out world, the question I ask them as we're kind of wrapping up is, now that you've been through this process, what was the thing that you feel like this journey helped you do most? 90%, and probably even higher, 95% of my clients say, you helped me find the confidence to do what I know I'm supposed to do. Yeah. It wasn't about the coming out, because what I see is then these people, guys and gals alike that I worked with, they go on and they do something else that's really big and bold. They go change jobs. They go lose weight. They go start a company. But it was a part of, oh, this thing about coming out helped me see, wow, I've been holding myself back in so many other ways. Flip that over to clients that have no sexual orientation thing that they're working with me on. And they'll do one piece that they came to work with me on. In fact, this just happened with one of my clients. He came to, he was timid, scared, young guy, young millennial. He knows he doesn't want to be going to college for what he was doing, but he just graduated. He really wants to start a business, but that means he kind of just threw 4 years of college away. He doesn't want to disappoint his family. We worked for about 6 months. He finally, you know, got the balls to say, this is what I'm going to go do. And ironically, the next thing that he was really wanting to work on was his personal relationship stuff. He'd never really dated. Now he's dating a beautiful woman who's just lighting up his life, but he had to take that first step to get to the next step. And I think this is the same exact thing that happens with business owners, is once you realize you can take the step, you do it to the best of your ability, use a process like John's, you follow through with stuff, you start to repeat the process, but don't shut down the process by thinking it's one and done. This is a constant over and over. Let's go back. Let's explore. Let's ask the right questions and keep going.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've experienced that as well with business owners that are just kind of floundering around with their marketing because they kind of lack the confidence that what they were doing was working, that they just kind of felt like I'm, you know, idea of the week. Yeah. And when they got, you know, we really are able to show them, you know, here's what your customers are saying. Here's your core message. You know, here's what you really do that people value. It was like the light bulb came on and all of a sudden marketing got a lot easier because they gained the confidence to say, okay, here's who we are. You know, here's what we need to put out to the world. And all of a sudden, you know, that kind of control feeling that they got over their marketing just changed everything. And I you know, half the time kind of laugh that we don't really do anything but hold people accountable sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's all they really needed.
Yeah. And I think the accountability piece is huge, because if you and I were working together, John, and let's just say, you know, you come to me a week from now or 2 weeks now for, you know, our check-in, and you say, Rick, have you run your numbers? Or Rick, what did you do from that marketing campaign? And I said, nothing. Well, but John, I want you to fix my problem. Well, I can't fix your problem if you're part of the problem. And that's what shows up so often, is help me do this, but I want you to do it. And I just want to sit back and you know, take in the rewards from it. That isn't what you do as a business owner. You got to constantly be in it. Yes, there's that fine balance from being in your business and being your business. I get that piece. But it's one and the same. I mean, my business is as much a part of me as being a husband and a father and being a gay man. It's all part of me. It's all part of what makes me tick.
I think the challenge so often too is just having somebody say, no, you know, here are the priorities. Yes. Here are the three things you should focus on, because, you know, time is the one that, you know, that's our, you know, most precious resource. And mm-hmm. there are so many things trying to suck our time away. And if we don't have priority, I mean, every quarter, my team and I plan, you know, here are our three priorities for the quarter.
Yeah.
And anytime, you know, I'm looking for something to do, you know, I need to get that list to say, no, that's
the priority.
Set a priority was because it's easy to fart around on Facebook and act like you're working. But, you know, if you make, you know, a conscious decision about what your priorities are, and they can only be a few, then you know, that'll get your focus, and then that will get your time.
Absolutely. So I got a question for you around the millennial, you know, young entrepreneur generation. What do you think their biggest challenge is right now out there? Because I mean, you and I kind of come from kind of the old school. You got to kind of put it all the work in. You got to, like, you know, put the systems in place. But I just feel like there's the millennial generation is almost like, yeah, I just do this and I'm going to be a success.
Yeah. I would say that, boy, that's a tough question. I have four children that are squarely in the millennial category. Yeah, yeah. So I'm kind of using my own, you know, switching gears here and using my own children, you know, for that analysis. And, you know, I would say that I'm trying to, this is a hard question.
So you know what? I'll dive in.
A joke for a while or something.
So what I'm seeing is they have great ideas. They have a different idea set because they are so accustomed to instant gratification, mm-hmm. which can be the negative too. But because of instant gratification, everything being readily available, they can, and I'm going to use the term go to market, go to launch. They can see that like in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But what I see is missing is they think that's all you have to do because everything is in their hand. Everything is like right here. But what they don't seem to see, and I'm generalizing here because I know some great young entrepreneurs that are some of my biggest, you know, they're my biggest heroes. But I think a lot of them miss that there's a lot of underpinnings that have to still happen. You can't just follow the latest whoever's out there making, you know, the YouTube channel or whatever. You've got to go understand what is happening underneath that is truly making that person accessible, successful, whatever they're doing. Because if you miss the underpinnings of your business, there is no business. And that's what I keep observing.
One of the things I've certainly seen that I think is a real positive is, you know, I've spent a lot of years working by myself, a lot of days working, you know, by myself. Yep, yep. And in fact, you know, I joke sometimes that's one of the greatest things, benefits of the internet is we actually go through entire weeks without talking to a real person. Mm-hmm. I still have a business. No, I'm just kidding. But I see.
Sometimes that can be a really good thing too.
I see in my kids, at least, that they really thrive on collaboration.
Yeah.
And on working as a team. In fact, you know, one of my daughters, you know, I think ought to start her own business, but she just so loves being involved with the mission of a, you know, a bigger team. Mm-hmm. That she just really won't even consider it necessarily. And I see that as a real positive, and it obviously can happen in small entrepreneurial businesses because, you know, building a community is not that different than you know, working on a team inside an organization. So, I think like all parents probably, I think my kids are, you know, I think they're doing a lot of things really right, but I see also a lot of, so it's hard for me to kind of pick on the negative side of that, but I would say that this is going to come off really, really bad, but I would say the biggest negatives, sometimes they're not driven enough by some of the rewards of owning your own business. There certainly don't seem to be money driven. You know, my kids take off months and go travel. And I know that's why I say this is going to come off really bad because I know that there's some things about that are very healthy. But it does also sometimes kind of equate into a lack of drive for what it takes to kind of build one of these things up from scratch. So that's the most negative thing I can say.
And I agree because I think that's where there's a shift. And I'm watching this really closely because as I go out and speak at colleges and universities, when I have the chance to go, you know, and I'm starting to get more of the chances to go talk about this big, bold move and what is the closet you need to come out as an entrepreneur when I'm on a college campus, I'm really watching the pulse of this because I think there is that piece of, I don't even want to call it irresponsibility because I think to being able to take off and travel, that's really a cool thing, but there's a longevity thing. Okay. How do you begin to integrate all of this so that you can have a sustainable life? You know, that's what I guess, you know, I and maybe it's because I'm 50 some years old and I look at this and go, okay, that's great. But you know, you're going to have medical insurance and you're going to have, you know, these things that are kind of the necessities of life. Yeah. So if you can figure that all out, and maybe that's what this new generation is supposed to teach us old dogs is, okay, there's a way to do both these things and be able to do it, which if you think about it, John, us entrepreneurs, you know, when you were starting Duct Tape Marketing, when I was just starting to leave my corporate job, we were kind of breaking the mold too of, okay, well, here's how you can do this as a solopreneur. And
that's right. Yeah.
So I think it's almost like the next generation is maybe they're going to teach, you know, the world, okay, here's how it is. I would love to see more people be able to do what you and I do. I know you've got an office, but I'd be able to work from home or work where you want to work and really get the benefits of that, because it's not just monetary. There's, to me, there's a huge health benefit that, you know, I know you just took off and, you know, I took some great vacation time or traveling around, but I also watch your posts on Facebook and stuff, and to go out and be able to go for a bike ride, you know, middle of the week and stuff like that. I wish our planet could get to this, because there's plenty of places on the planet, Netherlands and some of these other places, that that's life. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe where the millennial generation may have the light bulb that's about to really go off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a balance. There's no question that, you know, some of the things I did building my business, you know, probably, you know, not necessarily the best way to go, but it's that balance between how you define success and how you work, and you know, what the day's work is that equates to that. And so that can be different for everybody. And I think that there's a place for that for everybody, but I think that's the piece where you have to balance it. I tell business owners this all the time, if these are your objectives, then, you know, this pretty much better be your reality.
Exactly.
Every day. And I'm not going to define either of those necessarily, because you get to pick, but do know that, you know, certain objectives come with certain requirements.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up, I got a couple of quick questions for you, and you kind of walked yourself into this one. So how do you define success, John?
Well, for me, I mean, I joke about this all the time. I've left so much money on the table by not, you know, pursuing things, because, you know, to me, the definition is a level of comfort that, you know, you enjoy doing what you're doing. You enjoy helping the people you help, and you actually, you know, have a real passion around what that means to you, and that drives a lot of your decisions. But then you ultimately also, you know, don't feel the stress of, I have to do this, I have to make this much money. So it's a level of comfort and satisfaction about, you know, what you're doing and the mark you're leaving on the world. But it's also probably accompanied with then, you know, your ability to do the things you want to do, to make your own choices and not really kind of have your choices dictate how you run your day.
Okay. So if you weren't listening closely, I would invite anybody listening to this to rewind there for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and really re-listen to John's idea of success, because he hit on some really juicy stuff there that I truly believe is what being uncloseted and making bold moves is all about in your life. So as we wrap up here, buddy, I'm just curious if you could leave one last piece of advice for someone who may be really feeling stuck, you know, like, I just can't seem to get going. What would you like to leave them to kind of encourage them that they're going to be fine? They just need to.
Well, I think the biggest thing I tell people that are in that situation, or they're kind of sort of thinking about doing X, is go find two or three people that have really done what you want to do, and just mirror them. Just study them. Figure out what they're doing. If you can get in a situation where you can, you know, meet them and pick their brain, great. But, you know, a lot of the people out there are doing a lot online, and, you know, we're pretty transparent these days. So follow and find and talk to people that are doing what you want to do. That doesn't mean that you're going to go and say, what should I do? But study them. I'd be the first to admit that a great deal of my early days of kind of publishing and showing up was because of the influence that Seth Godin had on me and, you know, my idea of what permission marketing meant. And so, you know, it doesn't, and I'll tell you the other one, he's Peter Drucker. He's not alive anymore.
Right.
I constantly tell people that his books really mentored me as well. So find those people, dead or alive, you know, in person or virtual, that you can study and copy and kind of mirror and steal from, you know, everything that they did.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, because I can, you know, I can say you, Chris Brogan, Seth Godin, you know, Michael Port, all these different people started coming into my life in different ways, and everybody's accessible. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have one-on-one conversations with them, but in this day and age, everybody's accessible, and most people are pretty dang transparent to what they're doing. And it doesn't matter where they are, how they're doing it. You can find out enough and go, okay, I think that would work for me. And I think, to John's point of mirroring and everything, mirror to the point that you know that works for you, but only mirror to the point that it works for you. I mean, there's plenty of people out there doing stuff. take what they're advising, make sure it aligns with your personal values, make sure it aligns with the success, you know, formula that you're putting together for you, and then go make it happen. So
great. Answer.
Cool. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for taking time out. Any new books coming up? Anything new?
Well, I actually put a book. It's been right at a year now, but my latest book is called SEO for Growth. I wanted to write a very specific marketing topic, but write it in a way that, no surprise here, kind of demystified and simplified it. SEO has become it's always been an important channel. Right. I think it's risen to the strategic level from a business decision making. There certainly are technical aspects of it, but you have to think of it strategically as you plan your marketing and plan your business. And so I wanted to kind of break it down for people to do that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I can tell you, if you ever read any of John's books, you won't be disappointed. Practical, straightforward, easy to understand. And no, he did not pay me to say all that. So anyway, well, hey, man, thanks again for taking time out of your day to be with me and to share your ideas for living bold lives and coming out and being uncloseted in your work. Really appreciate you, man.
No, thanks so much for having me. And let me know how I can help.
Great.
And that's it. That's a wrap. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back in just a couple of days with another episode with new guests, new tips, new tricks, new wisdom about how you can go live your life uncloseted. And you know what? A lot of people out there may not even know we exist. So if you feel so compelled, share us. Tell people about it. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Share it from your phone, wherever you can, spread the word, because the more people that we reach, the better the planet will be when everybody is living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the show, that big, bold move expert and that guy that constantly wants to help people step out, step up, and step into living their life uncloseted. Have a great couple of days, everyone, and we will be right back with you very, very soon. Take care.